a progress report on palliative care provided by a trio of palliative care professionals in the trenches in the Midwest. That's this edition of the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. practicalbioethics.org. Dr. Christian Sinclair is the Associate Medical Director at Kansas City Hospice. Dr. Karen Porter Williamson is Associate Professor and Medical Director for Palliative Care Services at the University of Kansas Hospital. And Carol Buller is a Geriatric Nurse Practitioner at Shawnee Mission Geriatric Center. So, you three, where do we stand these days when it comes to understanding palliative care and delivering it? Let's start with you, Dr. Williamson. Or we can start with Christian, and then you can kind of play off what he says. How about if we do that?
Well, I think we are making progress, but it's still a specialty that has a lot of different incarnations. Someone said to me, if you've seen palliative care at one institution, you've seen palliative care at one institution. And so palliative care in a hospital might be very ICU-based, but you might have palliative home care that is more upstream. And we're seeing the emergence of palliative care clinics, so we're seeing it broaden out in its application. But I still think the public understanding and even professional understanding of palliative care is maybe a little bit narrow, and we are working really hard to broaden that scope of practice.
Karen, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think I would add that a lot of work has happened in recent years at the national level with the Academy of Hospice and Palliative Medicine, and also with CAPSI, the Center to Advance Palliative Care, on developing quality standards for palliative care so that when a service is operational, it can be compared to other services on the basis of providing high quality care for patients and families facing serious illness.
Carol Buller?
Well, I think there's a lot of lack of information out in the general public, and this is in the primary care setting, where palliative care is equated with hospice care. And so when we talk about palliative care, it means that someone is actively dying. And there's a lot of reluctance to accept palliative care early downstream. Especially, I practice in long-term care, and the regulations are such that rehab is very valued in long-term care, and palliative care not so much until end of life, and that is equated with hospice care.
Sounds like a lot of this we need to get down to the basics, and Dr. Williamson, that comes down to clarifying the goals of care and being very specific about that with patients and families, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, if we are focused on the goals of care, driving the plan of care from the beginning, then as a system of providers, we're much more likely to help the patient and family use the system in the way that is going to be most beneficial for them and fitting with their values and preferences for treatment over time.
And Dr. Sinclair, a lot of that is redirecting goals of care and having a good understanding of that. Would you say that's true?
I may not say redirecting, I say even just talking about it. Oftentimes we jump from this is the diagnosis, this is the treatment, and there may be discussion, and many of our healthcare professionals talk about different treatment options, but it's all very disease-focused, which has been great. It's been where we've gotten most of our medical advances in the last 100 years. But we're starting to see the downside of that when everything is disease-focused, that you lose who the person is. And so sitting down to have a specific discussion about goals helps bring the person back into the equation, along with what disease are we fighting or disease is, and what treatment options, and what they do not only for the disease, but what do they do to you.
Carol, is it different in a geriatric setting then?
Well, I think we need to begin those discussions earlier before a person ends up into the hospital. And so for primary care providers in any type of practice, talking about preferences and goals and looking at what this disease is going to look like down the road is really important to help talking about those preferences early.
Dr. Williamson, do you want to add to that?
I think as I was listening to the other two talk, what was coming to my mind was that was that when we are working to help patients and families through this, we need to reframe how we're approaching the discussions about palliative care. You know, there's an idea still probably amongst the public and care providers that it's all end of life and stopping and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. When in reality, the best palliative care happens upstream, where we are talking about how do we live as well as possible, how do we help our patients and families live as well as possible, so that we're reframing. Palliative care doesn't equal stop, lose, die. Palliative care equals continue to fight, maybe in a different way, to live better while you're dealing with progressive illness. And I think we need to focus our efforts at that message so that people understand what palliative care actually has to offer.
So, Christian, maybe we should change the language a little bit. Maybe it shouldn't be called palliative care. Maybe it should be called something else. What do you think?
That is a question that often comes up a lot. And I think when you look at it, a lot of time and effort has been invested in palliative care. We have a specialty now that's based around palliative care, palliative medicine. And so there's been a lot of support behind that. But it does trip up some people, but so did cardiology, so did vitamins, when you know, and lots of other words that we have in medical specialties. But as we get to use them, as we start to see them, experience them, it's not so foreign anymore. So I think if we move to something else too quickly right now, we actually set ourselves back 10 to 15 years.
Well, Carol, getting down on or starting – continuing on that track of language, we hear a lot about comfort feeding, and that seems to be a loaded term too. Do you find that to be the case?
Well, it certainly is. Comfort feeding only – I think the only part maybe acts as the loaded term. Comfort feeding, I certainly have in my practice families who recognize that as being very appropriate, because comfort is a good word. Comfort means that you're treating pain, you're doing things to make people comfortable. And I think if we actually use that phrase more, that will become more comfortable, so to speak.
Use it and you're more comfortable. Karen, do you find that to be the case too, that some of the language kind of gets in the way of people doing what is the right thing?
Well, I think that, I mean, words are very, very important. And so educating and continually educating about what words mean, and then putting examples behind the word so that people understand and experience what comfort feeding is or what palliative medicine is the way to help encourage acceptance of the term and its definition over time. But cultural change is not immediate. That's a long-term proposition.
Moving to another subject here, it seems that medicine, a lot of medicine, Christian, is a balancing act. And in palliative care, you're trying to balance prolonging life and relieving suffering. How are we doing on getting to the right point in that balancing act?
Well, I think we're actually getting to a better understanding that those two are not mutually exclusive goals, that they can be one and the same, and that with less suffering, your ability to live and live even longer might be there, and especially with the landmark study in the New England Journal of Medicine last year that showed that upstream palliative care consultation for patients who are newly diagnosed with metastatic lung cancer, that group actually had a longer survival. So I think as we get more research about good palliative care interventions early on, I think we'll see that it's not that false dichotomy.
Carol, in a geriatric setting, I guess that really is a tough question on prolonging life and relieving suffering.
Well, I think good geriatric care is geropalliative care. And so
another new term. We love it.
Another new term, yes. But truly, in geriatric care, an important initiative is to treat pain, to look at quality of life, and to do some of those things that we do ordinarily in palliative care.
I think there's, a lot of data that suggests than repeated studies that suggest that palliative care does not shorten life. And so talking about the false dichotomy of are we prolonging life or relieving suffering, there's no evidence to suggest that palliative care shortens life. I think the actuality is that palliative care may change how life is being lived, and that there comes a point where the length of life may be beyond everybody's control.
You three are about to make a presentation to a group of professionals here in Kansas City for a certificate program sponsored by the Center for Practical Bioethics. What will be your main point, Carol, that you hope to get across?
I think looking at palliative care early and how we do incorporate that in our everyday language and how good palliative care is good geriatric care for all of us.
Dr. Williamson?
I think I would agree with Carol's point that, in the broadest sense, palliative care is just good patient-centered care, good communication, good teamwork, and good coordination of care for complex patients across the continuum of time and space in our medical system. The other point that I think is foundational is how medical providers understand the trajectory of illness, and that we have to understand illness trajectories and help patients and families understand those trajectories in order to be able to plan effectively for what is likely to happen as a disease progresses.
Christian, anything to add to that?
I would echo Carol's point and Karin's first point in that palliative care is everybody is capable of doing good palliative care, from professionals to families to patients themselves. And I think when we realize it's really not a foreign concept when it's understood, then I think it will be embraced much more widely.
Final question then. We frame this as a progress report on palliative care. So on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being a full understanding and embrace of palliative care by all involved, where do we stand today? What number would you give it, Carol, and how far do we have to go?
Oh, boy, I give it less than 5 because I think we have a lot of things to learn and we have a lot of education to do yet for our population.
Dr. Williamson?
I would say that we've probably moved 2 or 3 points up the scale in the last 10 to 15 years. I mean, there's been major advance in our field and in the medical system's understanding of what palliative care is, but I agree with Carol that there's a long, long, long way to go. In the UHC study that was done a few years ago, only about 10% of patients who could be seen by a palliative care team in a hospital actually got seen. And I think that tells us that there's a much, much bigger population of patients and families that can be served.
Christian, you have the last word. I thought you were, Dr. Williamson was going to go. We moved 10 to 15 points just with this podcast.
Yeah.
But maybe not. But what do you think?
I think we're rapidly accelerating 3.
Rapidly accelerating
yeah,
3.
I think the growth in the past couple of years has been phenomenal, and the adoption of palliative care themes amongst other disciplines is fantastic to see, and I think we're just going to see more of that, and it'll change the culture of medicine.
Dr. Christian Sinclair is the Associate Medical Director at Kansas City Hospice. Dr. Karin Porter-Williamson is Associate Professor and Medical Director for Palliative Care Services at the University of Kansas Hospital. And Carol Buller is a Geriatric Nurse Practitioner at Shawnee Mission Geriatric Center. My name is Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.